Okay, everybody. Hello. Hi, Tracy.
Hi.
We're back for another episode of Turn It Off with Tracy. Tonight, we watched Zodiac, the 2007 film by David Fincher, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, your boyfriend Robert Downey Jr., again with the Roberts, and Mark Ruffalo, based on the book by Robert Graysmith, who Jake Gyllenhaal plays in this movie, all about the real-life Zodiac murders. And I find this movie to be very intense, a very intense movie. It is one of the few movies I can think of in the last bunch of years that actually scared me. We'll get to that scene in a moment, the part that I actually got scared at. But I wanted you to see it because, A, I think it's a superb movie. It's not too much on the jump scares, really.
Oh, really?
And it had Robert Downey Jr. in it, which I figured you would appreciate. So, well, I'm finding out live on the air here. What did you think of Zodiac?
Did I like it? It's a complex question with many answers. I liked it as in I found it compelling. Would I ever watch it again? Hell no.
No, well, you don't, right.
I never would have picked it. I never would have made it past the first murder.
All the murders are kind of front-loaded in the first, third of the movie, really. And I did give you some warning that they're coming, although I did forget about the one.
You kind of forgot the first
The murder in the cab, I forgot to tell you about that guy.
It's like, as their brains are being blown out, he says, don't watch.
Sorry.
Something that would have been good to know yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, this is not a horror movie. This is a thriller, I would say. This is a very intense thriller. Now you were alive when the Zodiac murders were first happening, but you were a wee little kid. Do you have no memory of that at all?
Absolutely not.
Okay, maybe it didn't get past the general San Francisco area. Well, maybe it just never made it all the way across the country. I don't know how famous the Zodiac murders were.
No, I led a sheltered life.
And you did lead a sheltered life. But did you, this is a long movie. This movie is this movie's 2 hours and 40 minutes. But you weren't bored during it?
There were a few times I was looking at the clock.
Oh, were you? Okay.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say bored was right. It's just like
it's very
like
detail
it's
heavy.
Yeah.
I mean.
And I really couldn't keep every name and date and place and everything straight. I was just, every time they said a name, I'm like, who the hell is that?
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of characters. Because, I mean, on top of those three guys, you've got several different people that could be the killer. And then you've got Anthony Edwards, who is Mark
Ruffalo. What happened to him? He just disappeared.
He moved out. He said, I'm transferring to fraud or something. So he leaves. And then you've got Dermot Mulroney as their chief. And you've got, the head of the paper. And you've got Philip Baker Hall as the handwriting expert. I mean, there's a lot of characters to keep track of. But, I mean, that's one of the things I think, this is a very, anti-movie in terms of the structure. Because it follows real life. Characters kind of flit in and out. I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal is the main character of this movie, but he's not in the last scene. The last scene of this movie is given up to two minor characters. In fact, one character we've never even seen before. So it's not a movie that follows your typical movie rhythms. Mm-hmm. I mean, Robert Downey Jr. basically leaves the movie two-thirds of the way through because that's what happened in real life.
Uh-huh.
That reporter...
Got sick,
moved to Sacramento.
Turned into a drunk, went to a different newspaper.
Right, went from the San Francisco Chronicle to the Sacramento Bee, which they, take pains to mention. But it kept you involved.
Yes, right? it kept you involved.
I mean, like I said, that is something I like about this movie, and it's why I listen to it a lot at work, because it's all talking, so it's a good listen. But like the blind alleys that this thing goes down. Because it's all about, really, the movie's not even about Zodiac at a certain point. It's about Robert Graysmith's obsession with the case and how he sort of lets it ruin his life.
Yes, he does.
His family leaves him because he can't drop it. And this movie's very concerned with the idea of time passing.
Mm-hmm.
It's constantly telling you 1.5 years later, three days later, a week later, because it's,
4 years later.
4 years later. And you're like, well, this, people move on. People forget about the Zodiac. And the Zodiac has never been caught. It's still technically an open case as of today. So, I mean, it's a
I wish that they would do the DNA testing because they have more, more accurate, more
technology basically.
More advanced testing.
Yeah.
And they don't need as much of a sample as they used to need.
Right.
So I bet they could match it now.
Maybe.
I wish they would do it and close it.
Yeah.
So we'd know that Lee Allen is dead, and we can all go on with
right.
our lives now.
Well, that's funny. That's the scene I wanted to talk about, because I watched this movie for the first time. I think I must have rented it, because this was almost like pre-Netflix. Mm-hmm. But I rented it on a Friday night when I knew you weren't going to be home for a while, and I knew this movie was long, and I was like, I know you don't want to see this, so I'll watch it now. And it really held my interest. Like, I was riveted. And then that scene where they interrogate Arthur Lee Allen
at his factory,
and the movie seems to suggest that he's the Zodiac killer.
Yeah, well, he waves his boot in front of them,
right? And he's like got the watch with the Zodiac on it.
He's pointing to the watch practically by playing with it,
right?
And then, what did he say? There was something that he said.
Well, he even says, "If I was the Zodiac killer, I wouldn't tell you," which is such a weird thing to say to a police officer. But that moment where there's like this long silence, and then the buzzer, like the work buzzer, that I literally jumped. I was sitting on this very couch, and when that, because right at that moment, like somebody outside made a noise, and I was like,
"Huh!"
And I remember thinking, "Damn it, David Fincher, you got me." You know, I've seen 1,000 horror movies, and I don't get shocked anymore. But that really held me. Like I said, because it's the movie is so random.
Mm-hmm.
Scenes don't play out with the normal rhythms of movies. There's that whole sequence where Robert Graysmith goes to visit that guy, I forget his name, but it's the guy who's designed the movie posters.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy totally acts like he's the Zodiac killer.
Right.
I mean, he's a total creepazoid, that guy.
He turned off the light and I jumped.
Right. When he goes down into the basement with Robert Graysmith, and Graysmith thinks there's somebody else upstairs.
As soon
and he's
as
like,
he said, "I designed the posters myself," you can see the wheels turning in Graysmith's head.
Yep.
And he's like, "Oh my God, this is him, and I'm with him alone in this like barn house."
Yeah.
With a basement.
And they go to the basement, which is rare for that area of California.
But
it's key to the investigation, right? But when he says he looks up through the floorboards and he feels like he can hear a noise.
Walking.
And he says, "Is there anybody else in the house?" And then the guy goes, "Do you want to go?"
First he says no. And then when he asks a second time, he says, "No, do you want to check?
Do you want to go upstairs and check?" Which is such a creepy way of answering.
Yeah.
Like, you would just say yes or no. You wouldn't, you know. And you know who that guy was? The guy who played the creepazoid?
Who?
Is Charles Fleischer, also known as the voice of Roger Rabbit.
Seriously?
That's Roger Rabbit. Played the guy, played the creepazoid. So
funny.
Yeah, I'm glad that you got all the way through it. I figured you would. I did tell you not to look at that one scene of the couple that get stabbed in the...
Oh, that sounded horrible.
It's really tough because it's a giant close-up of the woman getting stabbed. And it's not gory, but you can't look away. It's just this poor person getting...
I bet I could.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, if you're in a movie theater, it would be brutal to watch. And to know... And
listening
like,
to it
to
was...
be like, to be tied up and watch your loved one get stabbed and knowing you can't do anything. That's...
Right.
I was like, that's hell on earth. That's just hell on... You know? And to know what really happened.
Right.
Like, it's all real because that's how we know is because the guy survived.
Uh-huh. Can you imagine surviving that?
No.
You'd be a mess for the rest of your life.
Well, they mentioned that guy just got out of town. Like, once the case died down, he just left. And then the scene where they're like, "Wait a minute, he just left?" And he's like, "Yeah, he didn't want to. He just wanted to put that behind him. I mean, his girlfriend was stabbed to death in front of him.
You can't put it behind.
Well,
you.
I
would love to know like what happened to him.
Yeah.
Because you know what, like witness to, and the woman with the baby.
The woman with the baby.
Oh my God.
That's a horrible scene. Yeah,
like, the way she's just standing there screaming.
"Before I kill you, I'm going to throw your baby out the window." Like, just the way he said, just so calmly. Oh my God. So you liked it? I mean, again, not like, but you know what I mean? Like, you were involved in it.
I was involved.
All right. How'd you like Robert Downey Jr.?
He was Robert Downey Jr. Like, he played himself.
Well, I think that's the hallmark of a good actor, is that you believe that. I don't think Robert Downey Jr. is really like that. He's got a persona. He's definitely got that smart-ass,
mm-hmm.
quippy persona.
I enjoy that. But he also, he played an addict, and, you know, he has some experience with that.
The one deviation I think this movie made from real life, because I did some reading about this, was that Paul Avery's family, that's the reporter who sort of is involved in the case, his family took issue with this movie because they said it made him look like a burnout. And that, like, Zodiac ruined his life. And apparently that wasn't true. Like, he went on to have a relatively, like, lower-key career in reporting. But he did have one, and he didn't just, like, drink himself to death. I mean, there's that, the last...
And
I
think maybe the author, Robert Graysmith's, maybe his perspective was just different from their perspective.
Could be. And the last time we see Robert Downey Jr., he's got the oxygen tank, which tells you,
They say he died of pulmonary disease.
Yeah.
But Robert Graysmith was a self-proclaimed, and, you know, his co-workers called him a Boy Scout.
Right.
He didn't drink or smoke or anything.
And retarded.
And retarded. But he didn't drink or smoke or anything. So to him, somebody who drank a little bit probably drank a lot because he didn't drink at all.
Right.
So
it's That's
just
true.
Raising and lowering the bar.
And he says to Robert Graysmith, "You want to get a drink? It's 10 o'clock in the morning. Oh, it's late." You know? But I guess what they were just suggesting is that he didn't just, you know, like, when you see him living on the houseboat, it looks really awful. Like, he's just living in filth and not working. And his family basically said that really didn't play
not
out.
Not from
that
their
way.
Perspective.
But from their perspective, so,
but,
yeah.
You know, they can write their own book. Yeah. I mean, and I don't mean that to be disrespectful.
Right.
I mean it as, this is all based on Robert Graysmith's book.
Right.
And...
Which you see in the movie.
You see it
on sale in the movie.
Yeah, and... You know, that's his perspective on it.
The scene in the movie theater where they go see Dirty Harry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Dirty Harry is based on the Zodiac Killer.
Really?
Because there's a scene where the killer in Dirty Harry tries to shoot at school children coming off a school bus, which is what Zodiac threatened him to do.
Is that when Harry says, "Make my day"?
That's that movie, yeah. Go ahead. Well, no, that's... Okay, that's Dirty Harry. That's not that movie. There were 5 Dirty Harry movies.
Oh, okay.
This is the first one. But the first one is based on the Zodiac Killer.
I didn't know that.
And, fun fact, the movie theater that they go to see Dirty Harry played the movie Zodiac when it came out. Because that's a real movie theater.
Oh, okay.
The movie theater is no longer there. But so there were literally people in that theater watching Zodiac, watching people watch a movie in that theater.
Say that again.
Okay. When they go see Dirty Harry, right?
When the
characters go see Dirty Harry in the movie, Mark Ruffalo and Robert Graysmith, they go to the theater to watch Dirty Harry.
Yes.
That's a real movie theater.
Right.
That movie theater played the movie Zodiac in 2007.
Okay, I'm following.
Right. So when audiences like you or me would have gone to see Zodiac in the movie, in the theater... They then are watching a scene of people in the very theater they are in watching another movie,
which had to
be like almost like an Escher painting, you know, like it's like dissing.
That movie looks really familiar.
That seat looks like the seat right in front of me. It's because it probably is. So, yeah, there's lots of stuff. Like I thought David Fincher, as the director, did an amazing job of keeping everything going, keep everything interesting, considering how. This movie is so much about files and stapling and pens.
Right.
You know.
And kind of like Spotlight, where...
Yes.
Where something that seemingly wasn't suspenseful, they really kept the suspense going on that, which was incredible because it just didn't seem like it would be even possible to create suspense.
Yeah. Like I said, I hope it helps that all the performances are really good. Anthony Edwards is really good in this movie. I wish he was in more movies.
That running joke about the animal crackers.
Yeah, the animal crackers.
I love that.
They're in the thing, and he's always giving food to his partner. He looks at him when he's at the diner, and he just hands him the other hand of his half of his sandwich, you know, and stuff like that. So yeah, I wish Anthony Edwards was in more movies. He's really good in this. I love the whole bit about he's like, Paul Avery's on the phone, and he's like, you tell him to go fuck himself. And he's like, "Do you want me to say that literally, or can I embellish it?"
Yeah,
they're great. I said all the performances are really, even the small down to the smallest little part. You know, I mean, they cast kind of name people and just tiny. Like I said, Ione Skye plays the victim in that one scene.
The mother.
Clea DuVall is the woman in the jail cell. She's in Argo. She's one of the people in Argo that's trapped in Iran.
Oh, okay. okay. Yeah. You know, I thought she looked familiar, yep. And I'm like, no, she doesn't.
Yeah,
she does.
They cast everybody, pretty much, you know, people of some name recognition
some
is even
weight.
The tiniest part.
Gravity.
I said, I think this is, I love this movie. I think it's a terrific, gritty thriller. And I'm glad, again, I'm not even believing anymore you're going to enjoy these things, but you were involved.
Do you know what I loved?
What did you love?
The movie we watched right before this.
What did we watch right before this?
Piper.
Oh, the Piper. Yeah. To show you, Tracy Contains Multitudes, the preamble to watching Zodiac was we watched the Pixar short Piper.
Twice.
About the little bird that's on the beach. So, yeah. You contain multitudes, babe. We know that. Well, I'm glad you were willing to watch this. Because this is, again, this is not something, you know, much like... Night of the Hunter. I'm expanding the circle a little bit about what we're watching, because this is not a horror movie. It's a thriller, but it's got enough horrific elements that, you know, it would not be something you'd want to watch, but I thought you would at least be engaged in it, and you were. Mm-hmm. You weren't bored, and you never asked to turn. Did you ever get close to turning it off?
If I just happened across it and had it on, well, absolutely, even if I were in another room, I would have turned it off at the first murder.
But when we were sitting here watching it, were you ever tempted to ask me to pause it or turn it off?
Maybe that second murder, the second one we saw, which was his third by the lake.
Okay, that's really
the tied
brutal.
Up couple. Yeah,
it's so awful too, and that guy is almost like being like sarcastic with him.
Uh huh.
And you're like, dude, take this seriously, because he's like. I forget, he says something to the guy about...
Like, you can call me if you want to.
Yeah, or do you want me to write you a check? Like he's
And then
he even asks him something about where he went, he asks the killer something. Like, dude, what are you doing, you know?
Do you know I did that when I got robbed?
What? You did what? You were robbed. We should mention, everybody, you were robbed at gunpoint when you worked at a convenience store.
A Unimart up in State College,
right.
And the guy said... You got a choice. You can either open this register or I'll blow a hole through it. And I
think... At least he said the register.
Right, and literally that's what I thought. Go ahead, blow a hole through the register. And then I thought, you know what, if that gun even goes click, I'm just going to pass out and probably have an accident.
Right.
And... We had a new register because the woman who worked during the day got her ponytail caught in the printer, and...
That's another episode.
That's another episode, yeah. Nancy's ponytail. So I couldn't remember how to open the... You know, because it was my first shift with this register. I didn't know...
Oh, man.
I know, right?
I don't think you've ever told me this part of it. You've told me the other parts, but not this part.
And the whole time, there's this, like, running banner... Please don't make me open the floor safe. Please don't make me open the floor. Because I couldn't even open that on a good day.
Right.
You know? And then he said, give me all the money. And we never really kept much money in the register.
Right. Sure. That's how they...
And then sarcastically, I'm like, you want the change too?
Because did you say that to him?
Yes. Because my go-to is sarcasm. Stop.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
And I literally didn't know if he wanted it or not.
Right.
Like, maybe he didn't want to cart all the change around. Maybe the paper money was good.
He didn't want $2 in nickels.
and he said, just put it on the counter. So, and, like, honest to God, right now I don't remember if I gave him the change or not. I think I just gave him the paper money.
Wow.
But I don't remember, you'd think I could picture it. Yeah, so then he left with the money, and this is turning into a whole different episode of Turn It Off.
This is the true crime episode of Turn It Off.
There you go, yeah.
Wow.
And then I ran over and locked the door behind him.
Sure, right. I remember, you told me that part, yeah.
Called the police, and they stayed on the phone with me, and then they, you know.
Did they ever catch the guy?
No.
As far as you know?
No, but after that, every single person with blonde hair, small build, was the guy. That's him. And one time I actually called the police, and I'm like, I think he was here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I didn't stay at Unimart that much longer after that.
No, I wouldn't think so.
I think it was, like, probably about 4 months or so.
Hmm.
Yeah, and it just was not working out for me anymore.
No. I guess you were
And I told you, right, that what was it? A guy came to get gas.
We'll eventually get back to Zodiac, folks.
We will, I swear to God. A guy came to get gas, and he was getting it in the wrong kind of container. Like, he wasn't putting it in his car. He was putting it in a container.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't allowed to do that for whatever reason.
Okay.
So I stopped him.
Probably a hazard, fire hazard or something.
Right. But I don't remember specifically.
Right, for sure.
And I think if you have, like, a gas can, it should be all right. But anyway, he got all sarcastic with me and said something about, like, me catching him with gas, but nobody caught the guy that robbed the place or something like that.
What?
Yeah, no kidding.
You never told me that.
Yeah. I'm like, oh.
That's like the Zodiac guy, giving like a little hint.
Come over here and say that to me.
Wow.
Like, I wanted to dive over the counter. Oh. That was really...
And you didn't call the cops on that guy?
I should have called the cops on that guy.
You called the cops on everybody else, but not that guy? That guy was practically... I mean, I know, I'm sure it was a matter of public record that the police got knocked over, but still, that's
right,
a weird...
Yeah, it was in the paper. And then, was it him or someone else that a different Unimart, not that far away, but not, like, not right close, a person that worked there was shot and killed, like, a week
before. Oh, my goodness, wow. Unimarts were...
That was
a little rash of...
Yeah.
Jeez. Mm-hmm. Wow. All right. Well, anyway.
Anyway.
Well, the movie, said, the movie, you know, movie ends unresolved because the Zodiac killings are unresolved.
Mm-hmm.
If you'll recall that movie that we watched, The Seven Psychopaths with Tom Waits, remember that? With Woody Harrelson,
that
with the missing dog.
That was weird.
Where Tom Waits and his girlfriend...
Is that the one where they're, like, going along the river?
They go on a killing spree. They become killers of killers. Remember that whole side trip? They kill the Zodiac killer in that movie.
Oh, good for them.
They drive to the... They just drive up to a guy. They drive up to a house, and there's an old man sitting on a porch, and they're basically, like, they know... I forget how the movie tells you that, but they're, like, they know that he's the Zodiac killer, and they just walk up and just, like, slice his throat open.
And
people were like... This movie is just alleging that they know who the Zodiac killer is.
Nobody else knows.
Yeah. Well, we know who the real Zodiac killer is. It's Senator Ted Cruz. I mean, that's obvious at this point.
There you go,
yeah. I don't know what everybody's waiting for. Just go arrest them, for Pete's sake. So. But anyway, I'm glad you found this movie involving, at least. It's long. It's a 2.5-hour movie. And if you don't find it involving, it would be brutal. But, you know. You seem to be engaged with it. And you laughed at the jokes. I mean, the jokes are funny.
There are a lot of jokes.
Yeah, there's a lot of
That
funny...
makes that kind of thing bearable,
yeah.
You know?
Those guys with their sort of dark humor. Hot fuzz, there you go. So, well, it was good. All right, well, good. I'm glad you, again, not enjoyed it, but I'm glad that you found it...
Interesting
and entertaining. And I do kind of think I want to read the book. But
you can keep it in your car.
I'll keep it in my car. Like it's a gun or something.
You're right. You're not bringing that in here.
Yeah, I'm bringing that in here, so... Well, all right. That is Zodiac. That's going to do it for another episode of Turn It Off with Tracy. Didn't turn it off. This one made it all the way, all 2.5 hours.
That's got a pretty good record.
Yeah. So far, the shortest a movie has gone is American Werewolf in London.
Yes.
Which only lasted, I think, about a half hour or 40 minutes.
I think it was 40.
And then, of course, The Shining. You made it all the way through The Shining. You made it all the way through Legend of Hell House. You made it all the way through The Haunting. What?
Well,
you did make it all the way.
The Innocence, and
you made it all the way through The Exorcist, and then not through The Innocence. You didn't make it through The Innocence, and you did make it all the way through Night of the Hunter. Are we missing one? I feel like we're forgetting one. But anyway, you know, kind of you're all over the place, which is good. I like that we can't really predict. You made it through this and Exorcist, but not The Innocence. That's kind of amazing. So.
That's a very, very, very misleading name.
The Innocence.
Yeah. Right?
There you go.
Because it's exactly the opposite of that.
Well, yeah. It was about children. That's true. The children are not innocent. In
there you go.
All right, we're winding back. Go back and listen to that previous episode if you want to hear us talk about that. So, all right, well, that's going to do it for Zodiac. It's on Netflix. If any people out there have not seen it yet and are interested, it's on Netflix. So just... Cue it right up. free, basically. So give it a try. I think it's a really tremendous movie. It's my favorite David Fincher movie.
It's a really good performance on Jake Gyllenhaal's part.
He's great in this movie. He doesn't get enough credit. I think he's a really good actor.
That social awkwardness that he has is like right on point. It's not, you know, it's not like 1 degree over what it's supposed to be.
I love how they keep shitting on him through the movie, because he's like just the cartoonist. And every scene they're like, don't you have a cartoon to finish? Like, they're constantly kicking him out of rooms.
And
it's only he sort of makes himself indispensable to the case. Mm-hmm. But there's so many scenes of them like just telling him, get out of the room.
Right?
He wants to desperately be there. But
right.
Yeah, so it's good. Cartoonists can be weird like that, as we all know.
Right?
So anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of Turn It Off with Tracy. Tracy, thank you so much for spending your Friday night with me watching Zodiac.
Right, yeah.
We'll watch something fun after this, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
All right. So, we will see everybody later. I guess that's going to do it for now. So, in the meantime, I love you.
I love you more.
I love you way more.
I love you even more.
Hugely more. So, all right, thanks everybody for listening, and we will see you later. Bye.
Bye.
The knives I had in my car with the blood on them, that blood came from a chicken that I killed for dinner. What? I had knives in my car that weekend. Maybe Bill saw them and called the other officer on me.
Well, we'll be checking in on that. Let me ask you something else. Were you ever in Southern California at any time in 1966?
Is this about the Riverside killing?
Yes.
Well, I guess I was there around that time. I used to go down there a lot. I liked the auto races.
Foreman says that you're ambidextrous.
No, that's untrue.
You can't write with both hands.
My teachers tried to make me when I was a kid, but I couldn't. I'm left-handed.
He also said that you made statements about killing school children.
That is horrible. That's a horrible thing to say.
So you aren't angry about being fired from Valley Springs for touching your students?
I'm not the Zodiac. And if I was, I certainly wouldn't tell you.